All right, welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Definitely.
Today, we're taking a look at something that sounds like it's straight out of a political thriller.
Right.
Right? We're talking about the Romanian presidential election.
Yeah, and things got pretty crazy over there.
And we've got a ton of material to sift through, news reports and analysis. It seems like every headline is screaming about Russian interference.
Yeah, it's thrown the whole election into chaos. It really has.
So let's start from the top.
Okay.
Romania's highest court. They decided to just completely annul the first round of the presidential election. Annulled, like it never even happened.
Unprecedented.
And the second round of voting, it was already underway.
I know, it's wild.
Could you imagine? The uproar.
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine what that would be like. The court said that they did this. They annulled the first round, all to make sure the process is fair and legal.
Right.
But they're being very vague about why.
So everyone's trying to figure out what on earth is going on.
Absolutely.
Which is where our main character, Kalin Georgescu, enters the scene.
Right.
A far-right, pro-Russian candidate. Now, he was polling in the single digits.
Yeah.
He was barely on anyone's radar.
Right.
And then, boom, he wins the first round.
Out of nowhere.
So, yeah, a lot of people are raising an eyebrow at that, especially because this is a candidate whose views could mean Romania moving away from the West and cozying up to Russia, you know?
Yeah, I can see why that would raise some concerns.
And get this, Georgescu said he didn't spend a single dime on his campaign.
Wow.
But he's everywhere online.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem like it's just organic, you know?
Right.
The intelligence reports suggest Russia might have had a hand in this.
Yeah.
And they were focusing on platforms like TikTok and Telegram.
Yeah, that seems to be what they're saying.
Not just sharing memes either. We're talking sophisticated tactics.
Yeah.
Manipulating algorithms and even paying for promoted content.
Wow.
One report said a single TikTok user dropped over $381,000 to boost Georgescu content.
Wait, on TikTok? Seriously.
TikTok, yeah.
The place where everyone's doing the latest dance craze?
That's the one.
Well, I guess you can't underestimate those platforms.
Right.
TikTok's got that algorithm that just sucks you in.
Yeah.
And it reaches tons of people, especially younger voters.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it makes sense that someone would try to use it to spread information or disinformation, really.
So, hold on. Are you saying Russia might have, like, hijacked TikTok to mess with the Romanian election?
It's what the reports seem to be suggesting.
Wow.
And it might not just be TikTok.
Right.
They found evidence that someone was leaking access data for Romanian election websites. And get this, it was on Russian cybercrime platforms.
Oh, wow.
So that suggests a whole other level of interference. They might have been trying to target the entire election system, not just the voters.
So let me get this straight. We have this unexpected candidate, Georgescu, right?
Right.
With some pretty controversial views.
Yep.
Suddenly, his popularity explodes, and there are whispers of a secret online campaign orchestrated from who knows where. How are people reacting to all of this in Romania?
Well, it's a total institutional crisis over there. The current president's term ends December 21st, so there's no clear successor right now. And to make things even more tense, that annulment has really set people off. There are strong reactions coming from all sides.
I can only imagine. What are some of the things people are saying?
Well, Elena Lesconi, she's a pro-EU candidate who was supposed to face Georgescu in the second round.
Right.
She called the annulment illegal and amoral. She said it crushes the very essence of democracy, voting. She is not happy.
Wow, that's pretty strong. And I can understand why she'd be upset. It's like everything was pulled out from under her. What about the other players? What are they saying?
Well, Prime Minister Marcel Ciolacu, he's on the opposite side. He supports the court's decision. He says it's the only way to deal with the Russian interference.
So he's more focused on making sure the election itself is fair, even if it means taking these drastic steps.
Exactly. And then there's George Simion. He's the leader of the far-right Alliance for Uniting Romanians.
Okay.
He called the annulment a coup d'etat, but he also urged his supporters to stay calm.
Okay, so we've got accusations flying, political tensions rising, and just a ton of uncertainty hanging over everything. Where does this political thriller go next?
Well, to make things even more interesting, Romania's anti-organized crime unit, DEOCOT, has started investigating Georgescu's campaign.
DICOT.
Yeah, it's like their version of the FBI, but they focus more on organized crime.
Okay.
They're looking into things like hacking and illegal access to computer systems.
So they're taking all these allegations of interference very seriously.
Oh, yeah. They're not messing around.
So while they're trying to untangle this whole web, what does this all mean for Romania in the big picture?
Well, that's where things get really tricky. Some experts are worried that the annulment, even though it might have been necessary, could backfire. It might make people trust the democratic institutions even less. It's a really delicate situation, and the stakes are high.
Yeah, it's a catch-22. They're trying to protect democracy, but the way they're doing it could make things even more unstable.
Exactly. And then there's that big issue we talked about earlier, the growing influence of the far-right pro-Russian sentiment in Romania.
Right.
This election has really brought that tension to the surface, and it's something we're seeing all over Europe. It's not just Romania.
So this isn't just a Romanian problem. It's part of a larger shift happening globally.
Precisely. And the big question now is, what's going to happen next? Can they hold a free and fair election amidst all this chaos? And maybe even more importantly, what does this tell us about the future of democracy in a world where information can be weaponized and elections are vulnerable to manipulation?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, well, we've laid out the mystery, we've met the main players. Now let's dive into those sources you found and see if we can piece together some answers. What are some of the key takeaways from these reports?
Well, let's start by comparing the two main news sources you've got here. What's interesting is they're from opposite ends of the political spectrum.
Okay.
You've got Breitbart, which leans right, and the AP, which is considered more centrist.
Okay.
But they both report on the same core events. It really shows how serious this whole situation is.
So they might interpret things differently, but the basic facts are the same. They both acknowledge the annulment, the Russian interference, and the potential for things to get really messy.
Exactly. And that common ground helps us focus on the key takeaways. For example, both sources emphasize how unprecedented the court's decision was. This is the first time a Romanian presidential election round has ever been annulled. They're not taking this lightly.
It's definitely a bold move, completely erasing the first round of voting. That sends a pretty strong message. What else do these sources highlight as being really important in this whole saga?
They both go into detail about the evidence of Russian meddling.
Okay.
They cite those declassified intelligence reports we talked about earlier.
Right, right.
And they describe Russia's alleged campaign to swing the election in Georgescu's favor.
It's like something out of a spy movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the details are pretty unsettling. It's not just a few tweets or Facebook posts. This sounds like a coordinated, well-funded operation.
Exactly. Both sources mention that intelligence agency claim about the TikTok user spending over $381,000.
Yeah.
Promoting Georgescu's content. That's a lot of money for a candidate who said he spent nothing.
Right. And what about those leaked access codes for the Romanian election websites?
Yeah.
Both sources brought those up too. That's pretty serious, right?
Oh, yeah. That raises some big concerns about whether they could actually manipulate the voting process itself.
So it wasn't just about making Georgescu popular. They might have been trying to disrupt the voting or change the results.
Exactly. Striking at the heart of democracy.
That's a scary thought. So both sources agree on the annulment, the interference, and the potential for instability. But given their different political leanings, are there any places where their coverage differs?
There are subtle differences in emphasis. For example, Breitbart focuses more on how this situation could weaken Romania's ties with the West.
Okay.
It kind of plays into their narrative of globalism being threatened.
So they're painting this as a battle between national sovereignty and outside forces, with Georgescu representing a pushback against Western influence.
Exactly. They quote experts who say that if Georgescu wins, Romania could go down a path similar to Hungary. Which has been distancing itself from the EU and getting closer to Russia.
That would be a big shift in the geopolitical landscape. What about the AP? How do they present this aspect of this story?
They take a more measured approach. They acknowledge those concerns about Romania's relationship with the West.
Right.
But they also highlight the divisions within Romania itself.
Oh, wait.
They point out that even if it was manufactured, Georgescu's popularity shows that there's a growing group of people who are unhappy with the current political establishment.
So while they recognize the potential for outside influence, they're also saying that there are internal factors contributing to this upheaval.
Right. They quote political analysts who argue that this is just as much about internal discontent as it is about external interference.
It's a reminder that these situations are rarely simple. There are always multiple layers at play. And understanding those complexities is key to finding solutions.
Absolutely. And both sources, even with their different perspectives, agree on this. Democratic processes are vulnerable in the digital age, both from threats within and outside.
They both emphasize the need to be vigilant, to strengthen our democratic institutions, and to empower citizens to be more discerning about the information they consume.
Exactly. Which brings us to the most important question of all. What happens next? What could be the consequences of this crisis, and what can be done to address these challenges?
We talked about the potential for instability, for people to lose trust in institutions, and for Romania to shift its geopolitical alignment. But what are the experts saying about the way forward? What concrete solutions are they proposing?
Well, both sources acknowledge that there are no easy answers.
Right.
It's a complex problem that requires governments, tech companies, and individuals to all work together.
Let's break that down a bit. Let's start with governments. What specific actions can they take to protect elections and democratic institutions from these kinds of threats?
They both emphasize the need for stronger cybersecurity measures.
Okay.
We've seen how vulnerable election systems are to hacking, data breaches, and manipulation. So investing in robust security to protect the voting infrastructure is crucial.
So it's about building up those digital defenses and making sure the systems themselves are secure. What about the online world? How can governments deal with all the manipulation and disinformation running rampant on social media?
That's a tough one. Both sources admit that it's really hard to regulate online content without stepping on free speech.
Yeah.
It's a delicate balance.
But surely there's some middle ground. What are some other countries doing to tackle this problem?
Some have passed laws requiring social media companies to remove content that's demonstrably false or harmful, especially during elections.
Okay.
Others are focusing on transparency in online political advertising.
Okay.
Making it clear who's paying for the ads and what their intentions are.
So it's about holding social media companies accountable without stifling legitimate political discourse.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about the tech companies themselves?
Yeah.
What can they do to stop their platforms from being used as tools for manipulation?
Both sources stress that tech companies have a responsibility to combat disinformation and manipulation on their platforms. They need to invest in better systems for detecting and removing fake accounts, bots, and coordinated disinformation campaigns.
Cracking down on those shadowy networks, what else can they do?
Transparency is key. Both sources argue that tech companies need to be more open about how their algorithms work and how they might be amplifying certain content, even if it's unintentional. That would let researchers and the public understand how information flows on those platforms and identify potential weaknesses.
So shedding light on the algorithms and making sure they're not being exploited, that's a tall order. Are there any examples of tech companies actually taking steps in this direction?
Some platforms have started labeling suspicious content or providing fact-checking resources.
Okay.
Others are trying to limit the spread of obviously false information. It's a work in progress. But at least they're starting to realize they need to play a role in protecting the integrity of information online.
All right. So governments need to step up their cybersecurity game.
Right.
Create clear rules for online campaigning and work with tech companies to combat manipulation.
Yeah.
And tech companies need to take responsibility for what happens on their platforms.
Yes.
Invest in better systems to weed out bad actors and be more transparent about how their algorithms work.
Exactly.
And then there's us, the individuals.
Right.
Both sources say that we have a crucial role to play in protecting democracy as well. We can't just sit back and wait for governments and tech companies to fix this for us.
Absolutely not.
So what can we do to combat these threats and protect our democratic values in this digital age?
The first step is awareness. You have to realize that online manipulation is real.
Okay.
It's happening all around us. And it's designed to exploit our emotions and biases.
So step one is to acknowledge that we're all potential targets in this information war. And we need to be more critical of what we see and read online.
Exactly. Don't just blindly believe everything you see. Check the sources, look for evidence, consider different viewpoints, and be wary of those emotional appeals and inflammatory language.
Right. Those are often signs that someone's trying to manipulate you.
Yeah.
So we need to engage our critical thinking skills, be skeptical, and not let our emotions get carried away by those clickbait headlines and scare tactics.
Precisely. And finally, be an active participant in democracy. Stay informed about the issues, have thoughtful discussions, and hold your elected officials accountable.
It's about being informed, engaged, and empowered citizens, not just passive consumers of information.
Exactly, because democracy thrives on the active participation of its citizens.
That's a powerful message. We can't afford to be complacent. We all have a responsibility to protect and defend the values we hold dear. So, to recap, we've explored this dramatic situation in Romania,
right,
uncovering this web of intrigue with this controversial candidate allegations of foreign interference, and a nation grappling with its future.
Yeah. We've seen how the situation reflects a broader trend of democratic systems being challenged in the digital age.
And we've highlighted how vulnerable elections are to manipulation and the rising influence of far-right movements.
And we also delved into potential solutions, emphasizing that governments, tech companies, and individuals all need to work together to address this.
It's a complex and concerning situation, but as we've discussed, it's not insurmountable.
Right.
By understanding how all this works, recognizing the threats, and taking proactive steps to address them, we can build a more resilient and vibrant democracy.
Absolutely.
It's a call to action, a reminder that democracy isn't just something we watch, it's something we participate in.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, but before we wrap things up, I'm curious, what are your final thoughts on this situation? What are the key takeaways you'd leave our listeners with? I think the most important takeaway is that what's happening in Romania isn't an isolated incident. It's a microcosm of the challenges democracies around the world are facing in the digital age. We need to be vigilant, engaged, and proactive in protecting our democratic values.
Well said. It's a sobering reminder of what's at stake and how important it is to work together. But before we go, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought-provoking question. Given everything we've discussed, how can we harness the power of technology for good? How can we use it to promote democratic values and empower citizens instead of letting it be used as a weapon against us?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's a question that deserves our attention, our ingenuity, and our unwavering commitment to finding solutions.
Absolutely. It's a challenge that calls for collaboration, innovation, and a deep understanding of both the potential and the perils of the digital age. We've explored the complexities of this situation in Romania, and now it's up to all of us to continue the conversation, to engage in critical thinking, and to work towards building a more resilient and inclusive democracy for the future.
Well said. Thank you for having me. It's been a fascinating and important discussion.
And to our listeners out there, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it insightful and thought-provoking. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged.
Yeah, it's a reminder that these situations are rarely black and white. There are often multiple layers at play, and understanding those complexities is key to finding solutions.
Absolutely. And both sources, despite their differing perspectives, converge on this crucial point. The vulnerability of democratic processes to both internal and external threats in the digital age.
They both emphasize the need for vigilance, for strengthening democratic institutions, and for empowering citizens to be more discerning consumers of information.
Exactly. And that brings us to perhaps the most important question of all. What happens next? What are the potential consequences of this crisis, and what steps can be taken to address these challenges?
Well, both sources acknowledge that there are no easy answers. It's a complex problem that requires a multi-pronged approach involving governments, tech companies, and individuals.
Let's unpack that a bit. Let's start with governments. What specific actions can they take to safeguard elections and democratic institutions from these kinds of threats?
Both sources highlight the need for stronger cybersecurity measures. We've seen how vulnerable electoral systems can be to hacking, data breaches, and manipulation. Investing in robust security measures to protect voting infrastructure is crucial.
So it's about building those digital walls and making sure the systems themselves are secure. What about the online sphere? How can governments address the manipulation and disinformation that run rampant on social media?
That's where things get tricky. Both sources acknowledge the challenge of regulating online content without infringing on free speech. It's a delicate balancing act.
But surely there must be some middle ground. Can you give some concrete examples of how other countries are tackling this issue?
Some countries have implemented laws requiring social media companies to remove demonstrably false or harmful content, especially during elections. Others have focused on transparency in online political advertising, making it clear who's paying for the ads and what their intentions are.
So it's about holding social media companies accountable without stifling legitimate political discourse. That makes sense. What about the role of tech companies themselves? What can they do to prevent their platforms from being used as tools of manipulation?
Both sources stress the responsibility of tech companies in combating disinformation and manipulation on their platforms. They need to invest in better systems for detecting and removing fake accounts, bots, and coordinated disinformation campaigns.
So cracking down on those shadowy networks that try to game the system, What else can they do?
Transparency is key. Both sources argue that tech companies need to be more open about how their algorithms work and how they might be amplifying certain content, even unintentionally. This would allow researchers and the public to better understand how information flows on these platforms and identify potential vulnerabilities.
It's about shining a light on the black box of algorithms, understanding how they shape our online experiences, and making sure they're not being exploited for nefarious purposes. That's a big ask. Are there any examples of tech companies taking proactive steps in this direction?
Some platforms have started to label suspicious content or provide fact-checking resources. Others have taken steps to limit the spread of demonstrably false information. It's a work in progress, but there's a growing recognition that they have a role to play in protecting the integrity of information online.
So governments need to step up their cybersecurity game, create clear guidelines for online campaigning, and work with tech companies to combat manipulation. And tech companies need to take responsibility for what happens on their platforms, invest in better systems to weed out bad actors, and be more transparent about how their algorithms work.
Exactly. And that brings us to the role of individuals. Both sources emphasize that we, as citizens, have a crucial role to play in protecting democracy as well. We can't simply sit back and expect governments and tech companies to solve this problem for us.
So what can we as individuals do to combat these threats and safeguard our democratic values in this digital age?
The first step is awareness. Recognize that online manipulation is real, it's happening all around us, and it's designed to exploit our emotions and biases.
So step one is to open our eyes to the fact that we're all potential targets in this information war. We need to be more critical of what we see and read online.
Exactly. Don't just believe everything you see. Check sources, look for evidence, consider different perspectives. Be wary of emotional appeals and inflammatory language. Those are often red flags that someone is trying to manipulate you.
So we need to engage our critical thinking skills, be skeptical, and not let our emotions get hijacked by those clickbait headlines and fear-mongering tactics.
Precisely. And finally, be an active participant in democracy. Stay informed about the issues, engage in thoughtful discussions, and hold your elected officials accountable.
It's about being informed, engaged, and empowered citizens, not just passive consumers of information.
Exactly, because democracy thrives on the active participation of its citizens.
It's easy to feel overwhelmed by all this talk of election interference and disinformation campaigns and, you know, the fragility of democracy. It can feel like we're just caught in this whirlwind of forces that are totally out of our control.
Yeah, I get that. It's understandable to feel that way. These are complex, systemic issues. But it's important to remember that we're not powerless. There are concrete steps that can be taken to address these challenges and strengthen democratic institutions.
Okay, so let's talk about those steps. We've touched on the roles of governments and tech companies, but what about individuals? What can they do? What practical advice would you give to our listeners who want to be more informed and engaged citizens in this digital age?
Well, I think the first and most important thing is to cultivate a healthy skepticism. Don't take everything you see online at face value. The internet's a vast ecosystem of information, and, well, not all of it is accurate or reliable.
So it's about developing those critical thinking skills, being a savvy consumer of information. But how do we do that effectively?
Start by questioning your sources. Who's behind the information you're reading or watching? What are their biases? What are their motivations? Look for evidence-based reporting from reputable sources.
So it's like being a detective, you know, following the trail of information back to its source and assessing its credibility along the way.
Exactly. And be wary of emotional appeals, sensational headlines, and overly simplistic narratives. Those are often red flags that someone is trying to manipulate your opinion rather than inform you.
Don't let those clickbait headlines and fear-mongering tactics hijack your emotions. Take a step back, breathe, engage those critical thinking skills. What else can we do to navigate this complex information landscape?
Diversify your information diet. Don't just get all your news from one source or one echo chamber. Expose yourself to different perspectives, even those you might disagree with. This can help you develop a more nuanced understanding of the issues.
It's about broadening our horizons, challenging our own assumptions, and engaging with diverse viewpoints. I mean, that can be uncomfortable sometimes, but it's essential for intellectual growth.
Absolutely. And remember, engaging with diverse perspectives doesn't mean accepting them uncritically. It's about listening, considering different arguments, and forming your own informed opinions.
Be curious, be skeptical, be open-minded, but don't be afraid to challenge ideas and hold on to your own values.
Exactly. And finally, don't underestimate the power of offline action. Talk to people in your community, get involved in local politics, support organizations that align with your values.
It's a reminder that democracy isn't just about what happens online. It's about active participation in our communities and holding our elected officials accountable.
Exactly. Democracy thrives on the engagement of its citizens.
This has been an incredible deep dive. We started with a seemingly isolated incident in Romania, but we've uncovered threads that connect to a much larger global tapestry. We've explored the fragility of democracy in the digital age, the challenges of combating disinformation and manipulation, and of course the importance of individual action in safeguarding our values.
It's been a fascinating exploration of the complexities and challenges facing democracies in the 21st century.
We've delved into those complexities, and now it's up to each of us to continue the conversation, to engage in critical thinking, and to actively participate in shaping the future we want to see.
Well said. It's been a pleasure joining you on this deep dive.
And to our listeners, thank you for entrusting us with your curiosity and your time. We hope you've gained valuable insights and a renewed sense of agency in navigating this complex world. Remember, knowledge is power, and together we can build a more resilient and vibrant democracy for the future. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged.